donate, and listen to the podcast at WRWL.org.
All right, we're back, and John and Ron, and God's Word, the Bible is very clear. It doesn't stutter. It tells us that the righteous are as bold as lions. The righteous are as bold as lions. And if you've got pastors out there that are afraid to speak out against corrupt government, if they're afraid to speak out, then they're not bold as lions. I mean, they're not righteous, okay? And if you're in a church and the pastor is that way, I would tell you to find a church that God's Word, the Bible says, is a doers of the Word, not just hearers only. Go and find a where their pastor is bold and the people are bold and follow him. Now, here, our government, not just this government in this country, but throughout the world, what you call the United Nations, and people think that, well, you're patriotic if you hold to and support the United Nations. You're not.
No.
The United Nations is corrupt as the day is long. And we've been telling people, in fact, we talked about the apostate church. The apostate church is the church of Satan. The apostate church is the church, the World International Council of Churches. They're embracing, not every single congregation or assembly, but the vast majority of embrace everything that God's Word, the Bible, calls sin, whether it's abortion, whether it's euthanasia, whether it's sodomy, whether it's pedophilia, whatever it is, you know, say what they call same-sex marriage. They embrace sin. They embrace it. And like Paul says, though we are an angel of light, preach another gospel to you, an angel from heaven, he says. And that's what they're doing. They're coming as angels, as Christians. Well, they're not. They're as far as you can, from being Christians, you can get. So, well, we're gonna play a clip, and I don't know how much of it I'm going to go, but what this guy is saying is true. Listen to him. We're involved today. You know, do you remember that movie, Wizard of Oz?
Yeah.
And you had.
Yeah.
Well, you know, when we talk about, we look at how the FBI treated Donald Trump and how they did with Hillary Clinton. Remember taking acid to the hard drives, taking hammers and beating laptops and busting up telephones. I mean, like, in your face, I'm Hillary, and she reminds me. And by the way, Hillary was a witch of a covenant, okay? She referred to herself as Drusilla. I heard her. She said it. She even called it on this radio program. As the Witch of the West. Okay, that's what she called herself. So here, when I think about her as that witch in that movie, and I think of, remember all them flying monkeys? All those little flying monkeys that flew all around doing the witches? That's the FBI. Those flying monkeys, that's the FBI today. As Hillary commands, go out there and do whatever. You protect me. Sell your very soul. I own you. Be my slaves. Do what I say. Forget any integrity. Forget, you know, any decency or honor and credibility. You have to go out, and you're my flying monkeys. That's what you are out there today. And if my advice to the FBI, listen, this comes right from God's Word, the Bible. The very first thing you need to do, you people out there, is repent. Now, I know that there, you whistleblowers there in the FBI, God bless you for doing that. And But you need to also, you know, maybe you might need to repent that you haven't come forward sooner. But anyhow, God bless you for doing that. God bless you for coming. And you others that haven't, if you haven't, though, you know, you should. Look, right now, John, do you think a lot of these agents, because this program is coast to coast, listening to this program, and you think right now they know to themselves that they need to repent of that and turn away from that and honor God and country? Do you think that's what they're thinking right now, some of them that are listening to this program?
I hope they are, Pastor Ernie, because otherwise they're like mercenaries. They're traitors. When you see what the FBI is doing, it's out in the open. We see it, and the agents go along with it. It's like traitors. It's like being in Nazi Germany and saying, well, I was just following orders.
So are they going to make a choice that their loyalty is going to be to Hillary and Joe Obama and Merrick Garland, or is their loyalty going to be to God, okay? Now, who are they going to be standing in front of someday in judgment?
Oh, they're going to be before the Lord Jesus Christ, absolutely.
And who else is going to be there before the Lord Jesus Christ? Garland, Joe Obama, and that white throne judgment, and Hillary, huh?
Oh, yeah, everybody, Pastor Ernie, everyone that was born from Adam is going to stand before Jesus Christ. Now, that's the unbelievers. That's not us.
That's the white throne. Well, we'll be at the Bema Seat judgment. We have the Bema Seat judgment.
Reward. Yeah. Yep. But the Bible talks about the great white throne judgment in Revelation chapter 20, and that's where Jesus Christ is the judge, and everything that they've done will be brought to the light. Everything.
So, now that, and I'm not just saying the FBI agents, I'm saying people everywhere, all across this country, whether you're police officers, your cops, whoever you are, those of you who, and especially you that wear those black robes, you judges, and I have some very dear friends that are judges, and God bless them for being godly, but I don't care who you are, and all of those in there that call yourself Supreme Court, you all are going to answer to the Lord. And my advice to you, because I'm going to tell you, the Bible says that you will reap what you sow. You will reap what you sow, right? Does God always do what he says he'll do?
Always, Pastor.
And so, is God, can you mock God and ever get away from it?
Well, Pastor Ernie, he's very merciful, so he will work with people. If he judged us all immediately for sin, you know, we'd all be no one left. So he's very merciful, and he tries to work in our lives and tries to work towards repentance and working towards Jesus Christ as the Lord and Savior. Gives us time. But the time, it's not open-ended. I mean, the God's time working with us, there's a time limit that only God knows. But he doesn't judge us right away, Pastor. And there's a delay where he's working in us, trying to get us to repent of it and turn to Christ.
Absolutely. And so, John, right now out there, you've got these FBI agents, who, and their wives are telling their children, don't tell anybody your daddy works for the FBI. Don't tell. They're ashamed of that. Now, and for you agents, and that's your case right now, you need to tell your wife, and children, look, I'm going to do everything I can, and right now in the position that I have, to change that, because we've gone bad. We've gone rogue. We have...
I'll tell you, Pastor Ernie, what's really bad, you know, you're nailing it on the head, but what's really bad is the Justice Department and these district attorneys, like the district attorney in Cleveland.
Really, they're bad. The one in New York is, I think, is probably even the worst, but go ahead.
Well, you're right, the governor, but also the governor of New York. But yeah, Pastor Ernie, these attorneys, they have, like, more power than the FBI, the Justice Department, because the FBI has to work under the Justice Department. So they are completely compromised. I think they're worse than the FBI, the Justice Department.
Absolutely. All right. Well, you know, unbelievable. Absolutely. Now, you know, you talked about the governor of New York. I just want to say something quickly. Do you know who her God is? Who the governor of New York's God is?
Well, it is the devil, Pastor Ernie. I saw her one day at one of her worship service, and it was nothing more than like an occult event.
And she says she wants all the decent people to leave the state of New York. She wants all the decent people, all the...
I have that quote from her. Do you want it?
Yeah, go ahead.
Let me see the date on this. Today.
Yeah, no, I heard her.
New York governor tells Trump supporters leave the state. New York governor Kathy... Hochul.
Hochul.
A Democrat took aim at GOP gubernatorial nominee Representative Lee Zeldin, saying he and other supporters of former President Trump should leave the state. Hochul sparked controversy Monday night by saying Trump and Zeldin and Molinaro, that must be another politician in New York, just jump on a bus and head down to Florida where you belong. Okay, get out of town because you don't represent our values.
Yeah. Well, let me tell you what they're doing. They're bringing in all of these people, these illegal aliens in New York, and they're putting them up in nice motels on taxpayers' money. They're giving them free medical care, free hospitalization, something that the American people can't get in New York City. And by the way, don't worry, you folks that go to Florida or Texas, you run into a lot of the people you know because they're leaving New York City in groves like they are in California. It's gone bad.
Well, Pastor Ernie, it's a genius of Governor Abbott and the Attorney General here in Pennsylvania, in Texas, because they're busing. I think they've bused about 5,000 already from Texas to Washington, D.C. And the mayor of Washington is beside herself. She wants the National Guard to intervene. And there's only about, I don't think there's 1,000 yet in New York City, but they're really upset in New York City about this. And both the governor, the mayor of New York and the mayor of Washington have bragged about we are sanctuary cities. And whoever comes here is going to get treatment and they'll get food and they'll get clothing and they'll get. So Texas is saying, oh, good. Well, if that's how generous you are, we'll ship them to you. So it's been highly effective, Pastor.
Well, you know, not only that, but, you know, you automatically can get out there because they've gone totally lawless. In New York City, you can, if you're a drug dealer or a pimp in prostitution, you can work openly. You don't have to worry about being charged because, you know, if you get arrested, you're out, no bond. Crime is legal. In New York, crime is legal, okay, in New York City. So if you want to go in and good chance you could go shoot people, rob a bank, whatever, and good chance you'll be out within the hour because it's totally corrupt, like their mayor and like their governor. They're totally, totally corrupt. New York is really bad, and the state legislator in New York are evil and wicked and shameful, and I'm totally, completely ashamed of them that call themselves state legislators for the wickedness, the pro-death wickedness that they want to pass. Okay, we're going to...
Well, Pastor Ernie, we watched that day, I guess it was maybe 3-4 years ago now, when the New York legislature passed the you could murder babies right up to birth. And Governor Cuomo signed the legislation, and it was like a festival. They were cheering and clapping.
Yeah, we can kill babies. We can kill them after they're born now. Right, maybe someday we can kill them when they're 10, you know. They're wicked people.
Oh, yeah.
If I run into one of them, if I ever get an opportunity, I would have loved to have been able to go to that locked chamber doors where they couldn't get out, okay, and preach them till their hair caught fire. Because those people are wicked. What they did is an evil thing. They shook their rebellious fist in the face of a holy God. And I'm going to tell you, you state legislators in New York, and you people in New York listening to me, when you run into one of those state legislators, you tell them, make sure you let them know that God is not mocked. God is not mocked. They shook a rebellious fist in the face of a holy God. And let me tell you, it's a fearful, fearful, fearful thing to fall into the hands of the living God. So with that, we're going to play this clip. Probably play maybe 10 minutes of it, and then we'll take a little commentary. Go ahead. Do it, Courageous.
Listening to Hugo Talks. Now, this is an exclusive video on hugotalks.com only. Well, that's the idea as I'm making this video. Feel free to download and upload elsewhere as you please. So let's get into this Lucis Trust. Someone sent me a recent video that is squirreled away on their website, called Preparing the Way for a New Civilization. And if you've been following me, I've done a fair few videos on the Lucis Trust aka Lucifer Publishing. And really, if you haven't seen those, you should check them out. I'll leave links in the description. There was Lucifer and the United Nations, a video about the Aquarian agenda and how it linked to other people and other organizations. I did a video about how the Lucis Trust openly state they do invocations, spells, to raise the energy for big international political events like the G8 and the World Economic Forum Davos Convention. You know, they don't hide it. And it's weird. I don't see that many other people covering this. It seems to be a bit of a no-go area for some reason. Now, I'll just give you a brief lowdown on the Lucis Trust, but you should check out the other videos I just mentioned to get a better understanding. So the Lucis Trust was set up by the Freemason Alice Bailey for her writings in 1922. It was originally called Lucifer Publishing Company, after Lucifer, the fallen angel, usually associated with Satan, the devil. They changed the name to Lucis after getting backlash from the public. They say it means Lucifer, the Lightbringer, and it's all about bringing light to the world, and was inspired by Helena Blavatsky. Now, the Lucis Lucifer Trust has consultative status with the Economic and Social Council of the United Nations, and World Goodwill, the name of their groups that are literally all across the world, is recognized by the Department of Public Information at the United Nations as a non-governmental organization, an NGO. They are the spiritual foundation of the United Nations, the most powerful intergovernmental organization in the world. You know, the United Nations that runs the World Health Organization, that have been jabbing billions of people with their pharmakia devil juice and are attempting to tell you what you can and cannot do. Their spiritual foundation is the Lucis Trust, Lucifer, Luciferianism, no different to the Freemasons and other secret societies. They don't even hide it. This is what these people believe in. The people who are ordering governments and you to maintain sustainability goals, to get digital IDs, to have your carbon footprint measured, who are working with companies to block out the rays from the sun, to make you eat artificial food, to create a cashless society. Yeah, you know the score. Their religion is Luciferianism. And it's weird. I mean, if you actually look into it, they believe that very soon the Age of Aquarius will be coming in, or if not, it's already started, and they say the Lord of the seventh ray will appear. They believe he's an ascended master, okay? Sometimes they call him Christ, but they don't mean Jesus Christ. They mean something else. They think he is going to appear in 2025. The Lord of the seventh ray. They call him Saint Germain, and they believe he has been reincarnated many times in the past. He was a Roman emperor, Merlin the Magician, Plato, Christopher Columbus, and Francis Bacon, to name a few. That's what they believe. They believe he's going to come back and give off a burning energy and change everything into a new energy of Aquarius or something like that. To me, it sounds a bit like the Antichrist. And yeah, here we see the president. This is the president of the Lucis Lucifer Trust here giving a message out. It's called Preparing the Way for the New Civilization. It says a talk given via Zoom during the online Arcane School Conference, Geneva, June 4th, 2022, by Christine Morgan, president of the Lucis Trust. Now remember, these people are the spiritual foundation of the United Nations. They maintain and are in charge of the UN building's meditation room in New York. General Assembly Building is the room with the big black cube of Saturn in it, yeah? Satan. Dedicated to the god who goes by many names. And I wonder who that could be. Ah, yeah, it could be Lucifer, isn't it? The Baphomet, Satan, the Morning Star. I reckon that be it. Now, you can check out this video message if you want. I just wanted to take a few snippets and talk about it. So this is Christina Morgan, the president of the Lucis Trust. I did try to look up some stuff, information about her, but I couldn't find anything. There was nothing online. I did find a video interview, which I'll have a clip of later on. And in that interview, she said she comes from South Africa and her mother gave her Alice Bailey books went to read when she was 21. And then her mother took her to the Arcane School shortly afterwards on a regular basis. And then later on, she became the director of that Arcane Secret School in South Africa, which led on to her becoming the president of the Lucis Trust. So it looks like it's been handed down to her, or at least it looks as if being a Luciferian is in the family. Okay, so that's a bit of background. And here she is from June talking about how the world is going to change in the near future and what they should be doing and what to expect. Also, bear in mind that in these clips, these people talk in a very vague manner, overcomplicating things, trying to disguise what they really mean. Here's the first clip.
And this is why in this present period of transition, the Lord of the Seventh Ray is taking over the control of affairs and the ordered working out of the plan, so as eventually to restore stability to the planet and give the incoming Aquarian influences a stable and extended field in which to work.
Okay, so they're saying the Lord of the Seventh Ray is coming. That'll be their Christ, Lucifer, Antichrist, Saint Germain, reincarnated person, ascended master. And this is going to make the Age of Aquarius come alive, yeah? These are the people consulting with the United Nations. Okay, next clip.
The seventh ray works powerfully through Uranus. And visualizing this planet's influence, we can help to consolidate the new world order on the physical plane. And indeed, we're given a symbol to meditate upon in esoteric astrology for just this purpose.
So there you go. Consolidate the new world order, she says. Always got to mention the New World Order. And this is going to happen once the Lord of the Seventh Ray passes through Uranus. Sounds painful. So here we have the president of the Lucis Lucifer Trust talking about consolidating a New World Order. And she is asking for her groups to meditate, to magnetize the world, to make all of this happen in a more streamlined way. Okay, now in this next bit, listen to how she talks about the minds of the public, the brains of the people in the West, and how their minds maybe are overdeveloped and are maybe thinking too much, and how this impedes their ability for them to use white magic. Check this out.
So the challenge today is that humanity has a powerful desire body, which makes many demands, and at the same time, and perhaps especially in the West, the concrete mind has developed to such an extent that it can preclude the higher, more intuitional type of consciousness. The mind increases the pace of progress, but if overdeveloped and vibrating too intensely, it becomes insular, a world into itself. The overactive mind is a barrier to attaining free access to those levels where higher group associations are formed. And in order to create higher group associations based on the white magic of right relations, a certain magnetization of the surrounding ethers is very beneficial, as pathways of communication are more easily forged in a magnetic environment.
Okay, so are you following this? She's saying that overdeveloped minds are not helpful for white magic relations, and they want to magnetize the surrounding ether. What, through the Ethernet cables, eh? Because pathways of communication are forged in a magnetic environment. She uses the word magic and white magic a lot, doesn't she? Okay, next clip.
The relatively small success achieved by Western students.
All right, we're back. Let me tell you this. All I'd have to do is go to a Biden rally, and I can guarantee you there's not one overdeveloped mind there. Okay.
Yep.
If there was, they wouldn't be there, would they? Okay.
That's pretty good.
All right, a couple of things happening. We're going to go through lightning rounds, John. You ready for the right lightning rounds? But this coming Wednesday, this next Wednesday, August 31st, guess what? You have the Great Geauga County Fair, the oldest fair in Ohio, huh?
Yes.
Over 300,000 people go through that fair, huh? And we have the Right to Life booth there. We have the Right to Life booth in the Merchants Building there. And if you want to go out there, Ron Ritz, my co-host here, and myself will be working that booth. And bring yourself a pad and paper, you know, and an ink pen, because you can get Ron's
signature, right?
You can get his signature, right. And he is almost guaranteed to write something profound. So will you write something profound?
Yeah, a couple pearls of wisdom.
There you go. Okay.
Now, Mr. Ernie.
Yeah.
Didn't you used to prepare a tomato sauce at this fair and win awards for it?
No, that was Ed Corsi.
I thought it was you.
Uh-uh. No, my chili, right? Yeah. My chili. I won Northeast Ohio Chili Cook-Off 14 times, first place.
Yeah, that's. I wasn't sure, but yeah, okay, it's chili.
Yeah.
So, We're informing the public here that you are a superb chef among many other talents.
Well, my wife will tell you that I can cook chili. That's it. She says, when it comes to me cooking, she'll tell you, yeah, he can cook chili. That's it. But anyhow, that's all probably I can really do good, okay, because I've got a passion for it. But I taught my son. My son's won first place several times, too. But anyhow,
really?
That's, yeah. But I won't be cooking any chili at the fair. They won't let me, right? Okay, we'll be out there. We're out there to save babies. We pass out tons and tons of literature and inform people and educate people about abortion, what God's Word, the Bible, has to say about abortion. And we have the displays. They show you all of the babies in every stage of development. And so it's very, I mean, really educational. And we meet a whole lot of new people. And people come from all over, different states of that, and they come through there from different states because the fair is famous. And I run into people that listen to me from, I mean, all over. They come in, people from New York. I listen to you. I live in New York. I live in New Jersey. I listen to you. They're telling me a lot from Michigan. We have a lot of people come from Michigan now. But anyhow, we're going to be there. Ron and I will be there. And we're going to be there. Well, you're going to be there at 10 in the morning, right?
Yeah, Wednesday.
Okay. And so come in on Wednesday, he'll be with his pretty little wife, Barb. And Ron will say something profound and write. And we're going to put to sleep right now, once and for all, that rumor that he's got a wooden leg. He'd be wearing shorts, and you'll see for yourself, right?
Depends how cold it is.
All righty. There you go. All right. Now, Lord's willing, I'll be there too, right after you, because I'll be relieving you, right?
Yeah.
And I'll be coming in there, and that's this coming Wednesday. And then, you know what? Guess where we're going to be on Saturday? We're going to be Saturday, September 3rd, from 11 to 3 p.m., the Heritage Club of Northeast Ohio is having its second annual Judeo-Christian Patriot Rally at Veterans Park in Painesville, Ohio. And there's going to be food, beverages, concessions. There's going to be government officials. The politicians are going to come out and shake hands. And going to be a number of pastors. It's going to be Christian Patriot music. So bring your own lawn chair. And this is a Christian Patriot. And I'm going to be speaking up there. And we'll have a little table set up out there, too, right? We'll have some of our stuff, maybe our CDs and all that on there. Okay. And that's, we're going to have the T-shirts, right?
T-shirts, yeah.
Oh, boy. John, we have these T-shirts that I've been wearing. That's what I'm wearing now to all these rallies. It's like my cap on the front in big, bold letters, red, white, and blue. On a black background, it says, America Needs Jesus. America Needs Jesus. Is that true, John? Does America need Jesus?
Oh, desperate. It's desperate, Pastor Ernie.
In the back of the T-shirt, it says, resistance to tyranny is obedience to God, in great big bold white letters. Now, we have these T-shirts available now. I don't know how much longer we'll have them available because they cost a little bit to make and the price of things.
Yeah, Kathy's been working overtime getting them done.
Yeah, and so here... but a small, medium, or large, we ask a donation of $40 for a double, you know, the double X, 2X, or 3X, it's $50, okay? And the caps are 25, but we got a limited amount of caps, don't we?
Yes.
Yeah, and on the caps, short. They're really nice. It says, America Needs Jesus. Now, I wear them all over the place where I go, and people always point out the caps. And if their faces get all wrinkled up and they get ugly, you can tell they don't like it, right? Then I preach to them. I got them. I know who they are.
Yeah, huh? Easy to spot.
Yep. Okay. And so there you go. Or when they wrinkle that face up, it's like at home. In the post office, John, you could have been there. You'd have been there. That woman says, when she turned and there were us people, we had faces. The people with faces were there. And the masquerades were there. And this one masquerade, she yelled, you ought to all have masks on. And I told her, I says, the only reason you're saying that is you have a mustache, don't you? And you know what she did? She didn't say nothing else. She just turned around. She didn't know what to say.
Yeah.
And she ran out. Now, you know, I don't think she had a, I hope she didn't have a mustache. She might not have had any teeth. Sometimes people that are mean like that are mean because they don't have teeth, right?
That's right.
Okay, there you go. All righty, there you go. That's Veterans Park, Painesville, Saturday, September 3rd from 11 to 3 p.m. For more information, you can call Hal. Call Hal at 440-223-2577. That's 440-223-2577. Or you can go to the Heritage Club neo@gmail.com. The Heritage Club, capital E or capital N-E-O, @gmail.com for more information. And we'll be back right after this.
Now you've heard the story about the King of Kings, who was born of a virgin and above all things. Yes, he was, and he wasn't, and he is, and he's yet to come. And how he went to the desert and was tempted thrice by the serpent who was Satan and the father of lies. How he did all the things that he did, 'cause he was Yahweh's own son. He said, I am the way and the truth and the life. So they hung him from a tree till he was crucified. Then they carried him and buried him in a tomb 3 days and three nights long. And with a bang and a clang and a great big boom, the angel removed the stone from the tomb. And when they all went looking inside, well, Jesus, he was gone. And now you know there ain't no skeleton in Jesus' closet. The Father, he calls it for the Son to be redeemed. When you're resurrected from the grave, you leave no deposit. Yes, there ain't no skeleton in Jesus' closet. Now as the Spirit moved and the church caught fire and the gospel spread through the Roman Empire, that old devil's old world order was turned upside down. It seemed the more that he martyred and he crucified, the more the Holy Ghost of Jesus Christ was multiplied, until the gospel of the saving grace of Christ was finally spread the world around. All because there ain't no skeleton in Jesus' closet. The Father, he caused it for the Son to be redeemed. When you're resurrected from the grave, you leave no deposit. Yes, there ain't no skeleton in Jesus' closet. Now the Muslims say it's down to all you bow. The Hindus pray they'll come back as a cow. The Orientals say only Buddha's the way. But what are they gonna say on Resurrection Day? Now the world's got leaders that are trying to lead, but the truth of the matter is they're all deceived, 'cause they've all got secrets in their past they're trying to hide. So when Satan steps up to make his deals, he threatens to tell all the other big wheels, so they all conspire together to save their own hides. But you know there ain't no skeleton in Jesus' closet. The Father had caused it for the Son to be redeemed. When you're resurrected from the grave, you leave no deposit. Yes, there ain't no skeleton in Jesus' closet. Yes, there ain't no skeleton in Jesus' closet.
And you can take that to the bank, folks. There ain't no skeleton in Jesus' closet, you know. And this is what we're telling you. Listen, don't wait till it's too late, okay? Repent and call upon the name of the Lord today. You're running out of time. Let's do some lightning rounds. You ready? Go for it.
Yes. Facebook joins Twitter and announces its plans to influence the 2022 midterm elections. And Zuckerberg really isn't the problem here. If you love America and use Facebook or Twitter, you're the problem. Stop using them.
All right,
it's really
very good.
That simple.
FBI to use Ashley Biden diary. Guilty plea to turn the screws on James O'Keefe. God bless James O'Keefe. He brought this to you. I praise the good Lord for people with courage like him that have to do the right thing, that are courageous to do the right thing. The FBI will use Ashley Biden's diary conviction to pursue Project Veritas founder James O'Keefe. They hate James O'Keefe because he brings light. You know what? You know, sunlight kills bacteria, doesn't it?
Yep.
And that's what they become. The deep state is dark and bacteria. It's dirty, isn't it?
Yeah.
Okay. On Thursday, the two individuals who found Ashley Biden's diary at Halfway House pleaded guilty to conspiracy to commit interstate transportation of stolen property. John, do you know what is so bad? I've got a picture. Oh, boy. Oh, this is not looking good. This is with Obama Biden with little Ashley there.
Yeah.
And it don't look good. Look. look what he's looking at.
Yeah,
look at his eyes.
Whenever you see that guy around children, it's just repulsive.
The guilty plea of Florida pair, Robert Curlander, 58, and Amy Harris, 40, will be used to turn the screws on James O'Keefe. Harris found Ashley Biden's diary at a halfway house in Palm Beach and sold it to Project Veritas for $40,000. According to the Daily Mail, Ashley Biden, Joe Biden's youngest daughter, left her diary under a mattress at the Palm Beach rehab home. So let me ask you this. If she left it there, and she left it there, John, and these people found it, did they steal it?
No, they didn't, Pastor Ernie, and I don't know if there's any legal requirements to return it or not. I don't know. I mean, you could make a case that it was abandoned.
In January 2019 entry, Ashley Biden recalled how she used to shower with her father, Joe Biden, and suggest it may have contributed to a sex addiction. Oh, boy. That tells you right there what was going on, huh? Well, the diary describes Ashley and her father, Joe Biden, taking showers together in an inappropriate age. Well, yeah, I guess. I've always been boy crazy, Ashley wrote. Hypersexualized a young age. I remember someone having been sexualized with a family member. I remember, I wouldn't doubt it would be Hunter, too. I remember having sex with friends at a young age, showers with my dad, probably not appropriate. She wrote, all right, anyhow, there you go. What do you have, Big John?
Well, Pastor Ernie, I wanted to alert everyone to what Biden has, and I'm getting the article here, what Biden has just recently said about us. He gave a speech. Now, apparently this part was coherent, but the rest of it wasn't. So it's not long. Let me just read it. After Joe Biden declared that the so-called MAGA Republicans are semi-fascists and a threat to our democracy, and charged that they embrace political violence, White House press secretary refused to explain what Biden meant. So here's what he said. Biden blurted out the MAGA Republicans don't just threaten our personal rights and economic security. He said these Republicans are a threat to our very democracy. They refuse to accept the will of the people. They embrace political violence. They don't believe in democracy. It's not hyperbole. He continued, adding that America is at a genuine inflection point. It occurs every six or seven generations. He might be referring to the Civil War in world history, and further proclaiming that we are seeing now is either the beginning or the death knell of the extreme MAGA philosophy. It's not just Trump. It's the entire philosophy that underpins, I guess it would be the movement. I'm going to say something. It's like semi-fascism.
Well, you know what? I've been out there, we're all over, and the Trump movement is stronger than it's ever been. Of course, you're not going to hear that. They keep trying to convince the people it's not, and unfortunately, there are a lot of people out there that you know, they don't have a lot of backbone, a lot of integrity, and they'll just say, "Well, yes, okay," but it's not. And what they're doing, the way they treated Trump, is causing people more and more. The crowds he's drawing are greater than ever, and they understand it's Trump today, and if they don't stop it, and they hate Trump, they're afraid of Trump, if we don't stop them, it'll be us tomorrow. And the Communist Party, Joe Biden, these are tyrants. The Communist Party are enemies. They hate God. They love death. They want to take away our freedoms. They want to reduce America to third world status. They want to restrict where we can live, where we could go, what we could drive, what we can eat, and who can live. That's what the Democratic Communist Party. Friends, I hate to tell you out there, folks out there, but, you know, Democrats are your enemy. Now, they are your enemy. And so If they're, well, actually, there's no really Democrats anymore. The Democratic Party's gone. It's Deathocrats. It's the Deathocratic Communist Collective, isn't it?
Yep.
And so,
yeah, Pastor Ernie, how many illegal aliens has Putin allowed to cross the border?
Zero.
Yeah, zero. But
how many of Putin's attorney generals and district attorneys have let the criminals run wild through the cities? How many did Putin allow, Christopher?
That, yeah, crime is not even close to what it is here, huh? And so,
I could go on in that. I could. How many times did Putin force us to be locked down by lies and close our businesses and have people take death shots and die as a result of it? How many did Putin force on us, Pastor Ernie?
Again, it's not the Russians or the Chinese. It's Obama, the Democratic Communist Party, that are our worst enemies. They are our worst enemies.
Yes.
Now, they've come out and said it. Okay, remember Hillary called us deplorables? That Governor Fauci told the Christians to leave, to get out of New York, to leave. Decent people, leave New York. All decent people. Chris, the guy that's running for governor, says if you are a decent person, if you're a conservative, you're a hater. Always accuse the opposition of doing what you're doing. So this is their new mantra, and you'll hear this repeated over. You're seeing it parroted by the echo chamber at NBC, ABC, CBS, the communist-controlled media. And so this is their new strategy. I don't think the strategy is going to work too well for them. What do you think?
Well, Pastor Ernie, they're taking the fight to us. I mean, well, we actually took it to them, I guess. They view that with overturning Roe versus Wade. But we are fighting them all the way. We are fighting them at, oh, did you see last week all of the school boards that were overturned in Florida, Pastor Ernie? Did you see
20
that?
Out of 25. 20 out of 25.
Yeah. And the liberals were all kicked out and removed, even in Dade County, which is huge. I thought that would be very liberal. But, yeah, the 20 school boards were, they're gone now. The communists are out of the school boards, and it's under the control of the people.
And not only that, John, but homeschooler and Christian schoolers are up by 2 million students this year. 2 million students have gone from the public school system to homeschooling. That's just this year. And so more and more people, and they're finding out, they're seeing what's happening. I had a discussion with that doctor who was trying to defend the FBI and Garland, and I told him, here, these people, Garland sent the FBI out there like a pack of wolves against parents who care about their children, who don't want their children to have pornography, to be forced pornography. Children, you know, these are parents that are white people that are not ashamed of being white, and they don't want to hear their children come home and say, you should be ashamed of being white, and why did you have to born me white, okay? Because of the critical race theory, because of the propaganda and the communist collective public fool system out there. So when I told him that, he didn't have an argument for it.
Yeah, it's funny, not funny, but you brought up that critical race theory. They go back to 16, or whoever did it goes back to 1619.
Project.
And blaming America.
Yeah.
Pastor Ernie, now, you're a learned man. When did America become a nation?
When did they become a nation? What was it,
1776.
76 is when.
Well, that's when we declared independence.
Independence, yeah. But
right,
now.
Right. We actually gained our independence in 1783 with the Treaty of Paris. September 1st, 1780. That's when Great Britain granted us our freedom. And then we didn't become America as we know now until 1789 under the Constitution.
Yeah. Okay.
And by 1804, all of the northern states rejected the slavery, and Ohio, when it came into the Union, was a free state. So And in the Civil War, we had 600,000. Well, we had 350,000 Northern soldiers killed, died as a result of it. And that's all overlooked, Pastor. It's all put down. It's all they want to do is have this narrative that we are an evil, despicable, we were born in corruption and slavery, and that's all we ever were. And they want to steal every ounce of patriotism out of the children.
That comes right from Karl Marx. He says, in order to control a people's future, and Stalin got that quote of Marx, in order to control a people's future, you must destroy their past. You must destroy their past. You have to rewrite it. Now, let me ask you a question. If I say, hey, John, is there a difference between servitude and slavery? What would you say?
I would say yes. Servitude doesn't necessarily mean slavery.
All right. When the Pilgrims and that, when they came over here and started settling the colonies, were they indentured servants who could buy their freedom, who were given their freedom after 7 years? Or were they slaves that were the property that were owned by their masters?
Now, a lot of them were indentured servants, Pastor Ernie, where there was 7 years. It was 7 years, and people had to come over here and work for 7 years, and then they were granted their freedom.
So that slavery didn't come until later on. And where did the slavery come from? Well,
Muslim countries.
The Muslims, the African tribes were selling each other. They would sell it to the Muslims. And the Dutch also were involved in the slave trade there, too.
The Muslims actually used to go basically travel the seas all the way up to northern Europe, and they would go into the ports, and they would actually take women and young children, put them on the ships, bring them back to Africa, and then they would sell them to their Muslim leaders over there. It wasn't just only in Africa. They actually were very vigorous about it.
All over the place.
Right. They raided the coast of Ireland.
Yes.
They raided the coast of Ireland. And Pastor Ernie, now that we're talking about this, we owe a debt of gratitude to the Muslims in America. Do you know that, Pastor Ernie?
No, I didn't know that. Tell me.
Yeah, because under the Articles of Confederation, we didn't have a centralized government or a military. And the Muslims were raiding Great Britain. Our ships weren't protected by the British Navy, so we had to protect our own. And they were raiding our ships, and they were stealing these sailors and making them slaves out of them.
Yeah.
So one of the main reasons we are America as we are now, and we have a constitution, is because what the Muslims there in North Africa, what they were doing, raiding our ships in Tripoli and all. So our first navy was built to go into the Mediterranean to defend and go to war, to go to war against the Muslim tyrants.
Yeah, Thomas Jefferson did that.
Absolutely. Alrighty.
He built some of the finest ships in the world. They were called frigates back then. We had five of the finest frigates in the world.
Well, the way that the Leathernecks, the Marines, got their name as Leathernecks is that the Muslims had the swords that were curved, and they were made especially for lopping off your head, as we've seen ISIS do to so many. And so they made these leather collars.
Scimitar swords.
Yeah. And so they would have these thick, half-inch thick leather collars they would wear under their collar. And so for that reason, that they wouldn't. That's how they got the name Leathernecks. And so,
hey, if I can follow up on one thing John said about Putin. Last year I said this, that basically it's frightening to think that Putin is actually more American than our American president, considering he was basically head of the KGB for the Soviet Union. Just think how far we've fallen.
And you know who said that? Putin, when he was talking about Obama, said that you people have fought against communism, and he said the communism we have here is gone, okay? The communists. I still think Putin's a communist, but he doesn't. They didn't promote.
Not
but he says
well,
if you yeah. think communism is bad. What Obama, he said Obama is the worst kind of communist, okay, in which he was absolutely right.
Yeah.
And so...
Yeah, and before... I'm sorry, Pastor Ernie.
Go ahead, John.
Yeah, I just wanted to make something very clear. I'm no fan of Putin. I was just using him against the Democrat Party here in the United States.
Yeah.
And, you know, Putin's a bad guy. Political opponents get near him. They don't live long. And he's a big, he's supporting Syria and Iran, who are, you know, deadly enemies with Israel. So I have no, and then what he did with Iraq, I mean, he's not a good guy, but yeah. he hasn't done anything to destroy America where we have a Democrat or a communist, Democrat communist president, and the Democrats that are doing everything they can to destroy.
Yeah, we're out of time, John. The only way Putin looks good is if you put him up against Obama
or Biden.
Or Biden. All right, how much time do I have? I'm sorry. All righty, we are there. John, you got 2 minutes. 2 minutes. Can you tell us how to avoid hell and get to heaven?
Yeah, it's not complicated, Pastor Ernie. The gospel is very, very, very simple. A child can understand it. And it's in one verse, for God so loved the world, that capsulizes it, that God's love is hovering over everybody under the sound of my voice right now, that he gave his only begotten son. And there's a reason that he gave Jesus, and because of sin. The Bible says God commanded his love towards us, and that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. So he sent Jesus because there's an awful penalty for sin. We are all sinners before God. The wages of sin is death, and that death is eternal separation from God in a place called, we think of it as hell, but it's actually the lake of fire. And then the Bible goes on to say that whosoever believes in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. So believing in him is personal. God loves you in that you got his grace that you can come to Christ for salvation. So coming for eternal life with God, it means repentance. We must turn from sin to Jesus Christ and his word. Can believe that Jesus died on the cross, shed his blood to pay the penalty for our sin, and confess him as your Lord and Savior. With repentance and confession, you then can start a new life with Jesus Christ and have eternal life.
Amen. And so, folks, you don't want to run out of tomorrows today. How often do you hear people say, I remember I was preaching one day out there on the street in front of the abortion mill, and these young boys come along, and when I started witnessing to them, the one, their leader, said, that while I'm young, I'm going to party hardy. And he said, when I get old, I'll get religion like you preach. And, you know, I told him, I said, you know what? I didn't get this old by being stupid. And if you keep thinking that way, you're never going to make it. You're never going to live to get old. But anyhow, we're out of time for tonight. And so what we do this every night at this time, we say this, good night. God bless. And always, always, always keep fighting the fight.
Thanks for listening to the Voice of the Christian Resistance. What's Right, What's Left, hosted by Pastor Ernie Sanders. To learn more about our ministry, please visit us online at www.wrwl.org. Please tune in next time for another edition of What's Right, What's Left.
The preceding program is sponsored by What's Right, What's Left Ministries and is responsible for its content.